going to spend today talking about into and out of solitude. Some ways after we've taken a break the last couple weeks, feel like not only just in our schedule, but I feel like in our own lives, this feels like a point of transition as we look at this year ahead, as we think about the success of vaccines being distributed and, you know, dare ourselves to hope about a future back in person. I've just been reflecting on this past year, where we've been and where we're going. And there was two poems written by Steve Garness Holmes this week, following the lectionary of readings through the Gospel of Mark. And I thought these two poems were written side by side on the 4th and the 5th of February. And they're written off these verses in Mark chapter 1 that are also side by side. And the first set is about Jesus going into solitude, and the second set is about coming out of solitude. And I want these verses and then these two poems will frame our morning together and what we're gonna do. So I invite you again, you know, after singing, I find myself, you know, a little out of breath, so it's like running. And so I invite you to breathe in again and out and let your body settle. So I'm going to begin with these verses and then this poem, and then I've got a few images up that talks about kind of my, I'll just mention some things from my solo retreat last week. And what happened during that time, and then kind of what it looks to come out of a retreat. Mark 1, 35 and 36. In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. This poem is called Deserted Place. Go there, place of quiet darkness, sacred hiddenness, where you will be unfound. Solely soul, simply flesh. Be wide open as the deserted sky. Disappear in the blackness. Let yourself be there. There, let yourself be. Let yourself be found by the one waiting for you to come into the silence, emptiness, darkness of God. Read that again. Go there, place of quiet darkness, sacred hiddenness, where you will be unfound, solely soul, simply flesh. Be wide open as the deserted sky. Disappear in the blackness. Let yourself be there. There, let yourself be. Let yourself be found by the one waiting for you to come into the silence, emptiness, darkness of God. Amen. I appreciate those words. Donette, staring out my back window as we sing, appreciating the stillness, the beauty, the snow-laden creation, how great thou art. Indeed. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for those words. So as we rounded the new year, and like I hadn't asked this question, but I, you know, rhythms are really been an important part of my life, and I was thinking about 2020 and what we were doing a year from now, and we were kind of in the middle of the neighborhood engagement process with our land, having those meetings with the city, and it was like for me it was super stressful. I mean it was definitely a heightened time of anxiety as we were engaging with the neighborhood and just the tensions that raised there. Then we had our annual meeting, and that was and one more Sunday morning, and we went into shutdown, you know. So I was like remembering that space of winter last year, and then us trying to figure out online church in those first several months, and then getting into this routine that we've been in. And I realized, oh, it had been like the last Sunday I had off was like December 29th, 2019. Though we've been gifted with some voices who have done some of that preaching during that time, I was managing all the online services, and it was just like, oh, it's time for I need a off on that. And really it's just an awareness of like needed rhythms and space, that when you're constantly cycling, it not only does it take a toll, but it prevents other things from being other things that God is up to really having room to seed. So I am really grateful for your flexibility and for the elder team saying, let's just take two Sundays off and not try to manage getting someone else to do them. Just let's take that break. And this was the first time that I had a week-long solo retreat. So I was just by myself for a full week. You know, our kids are older, and so that length of time presented itself kind of for the first time in, I don't know, 20 years, something like that. So it's not as if every stage of life allows these kinds of things to happen. But Sarah and I have always been good at least having kind of days or a couple days away. Sarah's gone this weekend. And so we're good at providing those alternating spaces for one another. And that's been a huge gift. So I want to mention a few words about, you know, a lot of you have asked how that was, or like, well, what do I do? And I'll give a few of those things of what I've learned over the years and trying to do silent retreats or solo retreats and those kind of things. The first thing I want to say is I've learned to manage expectations. So I do not look at solo retreats as like going up to Mount Sinai and receiving the Ten Commandments, or seeing the burning bush, or anything dramatic like that. So I've, you know, I think when I first started out, that's kind of how I viewed these. Like, this is going to, you know, I'm expecting amazing. And then when it was not, or sometimes they're just awful, I've kind of allowed these just to be a normal part of a diet, meaning having time away is just like eating good meals and exercising, and you're not expecting one exercise session to like all of a sudden dramatically change your life, but a pattern of that builds a kind of health and resilience that you discover is necessary over time. So that's kind of the first time. And I tend not to have like a huge agenda, and I bring some things with me that maybe I'll make use of and maybe not. So I brought my cross-country skis, and was I gonna do that every day? I don't know, we'll see. And that I did. So I did a lot of skiing. I brought a few books with me. I wasn't sure which ones I was gonna read. I brought a journal with me. Sometimes I journal a lot, sometimes not at all. I brought my binoculars because I've been into bird watching. And I brought like my good camera with me. So that was a piece. And I, for the art part of me, I like to do wood burning. So I brought up that stuff and a couple pictures I'm working on. So the two pictures in the middle, those are from me watching birds, and the pileated woodpecker is one of my favorites. And it's super rare, but if you live in Minnesota, you get a unique gift because they live here, among other places. But that's one of my favorite birds to see up north. And the blue jays kind of hung out, and they have a hard time on a suet feeder, so they kind of wait for the pileated to like peck and drop some stuff, and then they'd swoop down on the ground and eat the leftovers. So, but really, the last 2 years, I was never really I was not a bird watcher, but that's been a new part of my spiritual practice, and has been surprising to me about how that's reshaped me, and in some ways has helped expand my capacity to love, and it's expanded my capacity of love of God's creatures. So that's been a practice for me. So I did a lot of staring out the window, not doing anything, and watching the birds. On my drive up, I got the audiobook of My Grandmother's Hands by Rezma Menekem, I think is how you pronounce his last name. And really impactful book. So I really appreciated it. And it was like a great time, because this book is all about really having trauma that gets lodged in our bodies generationally and culturally and individually, like how we help our bodies heal and recognize those traumas. And then so there's a bunch of practices in there, which I found just, it was really timely being on a solo retreat where I could spend the time doing a bunch of those. So I highly recommend this book. It's a really different approach to what we've kind of been doing when we name white supremacy and try to dismantle it from ourselves, and how it's colonized our minds and our bodies. This just really talks about how it's colonized our bodies. So it's not just, you know, reading books about racism or having conversations about it. Largely, aren't enough. It's practices in our bodies. So that was huge for me that week. And then I loved, I wrote a post about Brian's book, Faith Beyond Doubt. And so, you know, I really loved devouring that week I was up there. And it was interesting reading those two books together, because for me, they just really complemented, at least what God's been doing in my life, about even how for our own church, how Christ is transforming not just our minds, how we think, but how we feel, and transforming our bodies specifically. Leah, thanks for giving your endorsement for the book as well. For me, I'm really excited that our congregation is reading this together, a lot of you, and feel like the back half of the book especially articulates the journey that our church has been on, many of you have been on, and a vision for it, like why we need to keep going. And so I found that really encouraging. And in some ways it brings me now to like the second poem, or the verses right after these, which is, moving out of solitude. So that's what I want to do next. So Mark 10:37-38. This is another instance of Jesus praying alone. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came to do." And so this poem, this next poem, kind of frame our next part of the morning. Expanding your capacity to love even crows. Yeah, that's probably the most dramatic conversion for me. And I think, is this Sarah Shapiro? I'm reading My Grandmother's Hands in a group I'm in. It's so good. Awesome. Yeah, it would be a great book to do in a group. So Sarah, that's fantastic. All right. This poem is called Go On. Again, taking a deep breath. Rest is good, and rootedness is a blessing. But beware the grasping nest. Beware of the familiar, the comfortable, the trap. Follow him. Go on. Perhaps to other towns and villages, or follow him rooted in one faithful place. But beyond your comfort, past that familiar wall, the frontier at an edge of an unknown, further into another's heart or within, the place where you don't know what to do. Serve beyond your security. Dare to be alien, a beginner. Have to trust. Even in the world unknown, you are known. Even afar, you are at home. So go. You are not alone. You are following. I'll read that again. Rest is good, and rootedness is a blessing. But beware the grasping nest. Beware of the familiar, the comfortable, the trap. Follow him. go on, perhaps to other towns and villages, or follow him rooted in one faithful place. But beyond your comfort, past that familiar wall, the frontier at an edge of an unknown, further into another's heart or within, the place where you don't know what to do. Serve beyond your security. Dare to be alien, a beginner. Have to trust. Even in the world unknown, you are known. Even afar, you are at home. So go. You are not alone. You are following. Amen. Amen. So, I love these poems back to back and these times of Jesus' solitude, like coming out of it and knowing there's a move. Everyone is searching for you, but Jesus answered, let us go on to the neighboring town so that I might proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. So that knowing when to go, when to stay, you know, I just see as part of Jesus's rhythm that he invites us into, knowing when to stay, knowing when to go, when it's time to move. I just find that super refreshing and significant. And, you know, so this is how I've been thinking about it. For us, after a year in lockdown, there's parts of, you know, meeting online that have become comfortable. Like we've figured out the rhythm where I just, you know, remember those first Sundays where I, you know, had the words of the song printed on a piece of paper and they were backwards. And, you know, we're just like, okay, like we've figured some things out going to this new place. And in some ways, like, it is nice to be able to, you know, for y'all to kind of sleep in on a Sunday morning and just open up your device in your sweatpants and have a cup of coffee and not have to go anywhere. Like, you didn't have to go out this morning. And praise the Lord, right? I came out to leave this morning and our garage door was open. And I'm like, no, I know I closed that last night. But apparently it wasn't able to close all the way. And I just assumed that it did. And it came back up. And then, like, so for 15 minutes, I'm out trying to get our garage door to open and close, and it's like too cold, I realized. Like it was, that was like a whole thing. But when it's this cold out, you don't want to be like doing garage door maintenance. So I'm like, you know, their early morning, you know, was like kind of a little rude to me in some ways. But what I love is, like, okay, there is still like this call, and in some ways, I've kind of seen this last year as a gift in many ways, because it's like it's just been us, you know. We're on a private Facebook group page. This hasn't been a time about trying to like broadcast the message or get more people to come, or it like our focus has in some ways been a gift of just been like, let's be us in this safe place. Let's allow Christ to you know, work among us and heal us, and we learn to take care of each other in a really traumatic season of life, you know, for our society, for our city, for our world. I've just been so, so grateful. And in some ways, when I think about like coming out of this season. You know, I feel a little rusty, or it's like I feel a bit comfortable here in this space. And I don't know, my week away just provided not only, you know, another, you know, rhythm of solitude and stopping some things, but also just some space to be inspired about what's in front of us and a call to go. So we're ready. So we're like, some ways when we come out of online to meeting back together, like I see Christ, we'll see manifest some of the fruit that's come out of just this time together. I'm excited about that. I'm looking forward to it. But I also feel stiff, you know, like I like literally now I feel kind of stiff, whether or not it's the negative 18 degrees. And so what I wanted to do this morning, I'm looking back at what we've done leading up to like shutdown, some of the statements that we've made as far as vision for our congregation. It's the values that we've been forming and have formed us. Into talking about, you know, who we are as a community, what do we do with our land? So that's, you know, last winter, that was like really front and center, and then that went to the back burner. So I want to remind ourselves of just some of the things that we've done, because I think this really informs our coming out of solitude. Now, I apologize. There's just a lot of words on the screen, but I just thought since we've written them out, I'll post them. And these are just around like our purpose, why we're here as a church. Here are some of the things that we've said, and this is coming from 2019. Yeah. We are compelled to reclaim the Jesus movement to heal and bless the world. We see the charter for this movement in our four P's. We are excited for our community to grow in and embody our purpose, posture, perspective, and practices. And I'll remind you of these, right? First P of purpose, we partner with God in the healing and redemption of all things through our relationships with God, ourselves, others, and creation. So it's this four-dimensional, fourfold participation in God, with God. We have a distinct posture. We posture ourselves as students seeking to learn, grow, and be transformed into the likeness of Christ. We have a distinct perspective. We believe that Jesus puts God on display. We view life and faith through a Jesus-shaped lens, reframing how we come to see God, ourselves, others, and creation. You know, one of the ways we say this shorthand is if our view of God doesn't add up to Jesus, we've got more work to do. If our theology doesn't add up to loving our neighbor as ourselves, we have more work to do. So that's that cross-shaped lens that shapes our perspective. And our practice, we practice the ways of Jesus, which at this point we've defined as the way of worship, the way of love, community, discipleship, service, and generosity. So if you're newer to our community, those might be new. If you've been around the last several years, you've heard those often. And then, you know, we did some work trying to flesh out, what does that mean for our congregation? You know, if we flesh out our purpose or perspective, posture, and practice, we've tried to set some goals for ourselves. And we believe our world needs more visual aids of heaven on earth, not simply more church buildings. our goal is to be a reflection of the kingdom of God rather than a reflection of separate neighborhoods and tribes. Therefore, being a visual aid of heaven summons us to be a multi-ethnic, multinational, multi-denominational, every background, every gift, and everyone mobilized for the Jesus movement to heal and bless our neighborhood, city, and world. This means we have been dedicated to naming and being liberated from the principalities of domination, white supremacy, patriarchy, and economies of extraction and exploitation. These powers continue to misshape us into separate, ranked, unrelated, and unreconciled factions of people. Now, I find this pretty interesting. So this is, you know, winter 2019 when we kind of made these statements together of like we were going to get serious about naming this these misshaping, colonizing powers. And I'm really grateful we started, you know, naming and doing that work intentionally 2 years ago, because I think if we hadn't, we'd just be in a world of hurt coming into 2020. So I am so convinced the Spirit of God has been leading us, and we've been following. Okay, this is the next work that we've got to do together, and we've got to get serious about it. Let's name it. Let's not be afraid of it. Let's not try to not step on eggshells about it, but let it get out in the open. And here's kind of this last bit of it also means that we are reliant on a different spirit who is holy and able to inspire new patterns of flourishing life in and through us. So it's this participating reliance on the Holy Spirit of God in us, moving us and shaping us. Okay. I'll pause and take a breath. How does it feel being reminded of these words? We did a lot of home groups together around some of this visioning process. How are you doing? Any words for this? Incredibly gracious positioning of this community by the Spirit prior to 2020. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Michelle. Anybody else? Pause. How does it feel to be reminded of these things? Amen. Tony, thank you. Okay, I'll keep going. And if something stirs in you, you can put that in the chat. So what does this look like for like a Sunday? Our Sunday gatherings are known and regarded for our worship and how it forms us in wisdom, joy, and soulful action in our world. You know, we have a vision of a rich diversity of teachers, musicians, and liturgists gifted in facilitating our community in the loving expansion of our affections, minds, souls, and bodies. We engage in corporate worship practices that are a desired, essential, and anticipated experience every time we gather together. We are soulful in our daily lives and have made spiritual direction and formation a normal part of our community life together. So this is kind of just broadly outside of Sundays. Jay says, proud to be part of this vision and purpose. Amen. Thanks, Jay. We are where God wants us to be. That knowledge breaks the chains of anxiety. Yeah, thank you, Kathy, and thank you for naming that. I think that's just a really real, you know, human burden of worry and anxiety about, like, are we doing life right? So I appreciate that word. We have inspiring teams that lead and train us in creation care, just peacemaking, and systemic advocacy and implementation. So that's like part of a vision, you know, that we really grow in our areas of giftedness. Some of you are really good in leading in these areas. And so that's just a vision we want to continue to grow in, of learning how to have our relationships healed in terms of how we relate to the creation. And then what's just peacemaking in this broken world? And how do we move beyond just being charitable to, as a congregation, learning how to do systemic advocacy and implementing real long-term flourishing changes? Our neighbors recognize this community as a place that trains and can be relied on to produce wise, compassionate, and soulful people who are able to navigate the complex issues and problems in our world with integrity, grace, insight, and resolve. You know, this is one of the things that I really saw Brian at the end of his book, I'm kind of holding out as a vision. It's like, what? Where are there communities that are really dedicated to growing up wise leaders who operate with wisdom, integrity, grace, and harmony, knowing how to navigate just the huge complex problems and realities that our world faces? And so I saw that as like a beautiful call to action. And that's, I know, what he's really given his life to, is to really try to inspire churches to, you know, reclaim this space. 'Cause we need organized, in a sense, institutions that are dedicated to it. Our children and youth ministries cultivate beloved communities at the earliest ages. The scope and sequence of our ministry is rooted in wisdom and mentoring relationships that nurture and inspire our children and teens in knowing, loving, and living Christ. And to that, Lee says, soulful in our daily lives, lots of hearts. Yeah, I love that vision too, Lee. Kevin says, I feel grateful hearing the words of our purpose, posture, etc., because it's a reminder of where the Spirit has brought us and directed us. Yeah, awesome. Thank you, Kevin. And keep going here. We have an expanding ministry with our immigrant neighbors. We envision a center for immigration services and restorative justice. We have a thriving resource center, legal advocacy, and community education ministry. The center is dedicated to empowering, welcoming, and equipping immigrants and others at the margins of our population who need a few friends to help provide hospitable ground to stand on. And you'll see where this goes. I mean, so, you know, the work that we had already done was establishing our microloan program, and Ian and Pat Levy being trained, and we're not sure what this looks like, or if it would be this, or we partner with others to make this happen. But we really sense God specifically in our midst to be in solidarity with our immigrant neighbors. You know, and quick story, one of our immigrant neighbors was in need of, you know, references. And I've asked some of you and will be asking when they go before, you know, the immigration court and judge and you know, plead their case. And it's really helpful to have at least 5 references from U.S. citizens. And I was, it struck me that even for this person, knowing 5 U.S. citizens that could be a reference for them that was a stretch. Like, it was a huge challenge. And I was, oh man, it just like cut me to the heart. Of knowing so much of the community of immigrants have like a shadow life, and are afraid to come out of the shadows for good reason. And it makes that isolation, it just compounds it. And I thought, we can be a congregation that uses our citizenship as advocacy. You know, for a lot of us, it's just something that we were born in with and can take for granted. And I was struck kind of on the opposite of like, can I quickly name 5 people whose immigration status is, you know, being negotiated, you know, isn't a fixed, stable reality. And I'm like, I don't ever want to be in a spot where I don't know 5 immigrants at the margins. So I see this. Yeah, it really struck me, and I feel like, man, church, this is a real area where we can step into what God's already been doing even more so. So may it be so, Spirit, help it happen. We are a congregation dedicated to building bridges of peace, justice, and collaboration. We are actively engaged in growing an interfaith movement for generative peacemaking and the advancement of the common good that includes all of our neighbors without exceptions. And I, you know, that's even expanded even in shutdown. And I look forward to this. So pause. Have we explored partnerships with World Relief? Yes, we have at different points been really aligned with them. We haven't as much in the last several years. But before the health clinic was the health clinic, and before Timber Bay Ministry was running it, we used that house to host immigrant families for a year at a time. And that was a specific partnership with World Relief, which is now Arrive Ministries. So yes, that's a good recommendation of a potential partner. It was really exciting to me to be part of seeing immigrants become citizens. I have always wondered how to be of service and never considered how relationship is so big in the process. Yeah. Thanks, Leah. Our land and facilities reflect our commitments and values as a community of belonging. Therefore, we have made the necessary changes and investments to make our building accessible and inclusive that welcome a diversity of bodies and abilities. We have opened our land to develop affordable housing. So this is some of the vision of what we think of these 5.5 acres and our buildings, which, you know, aren't very welcoming or accessible. We've already made, you know, big investments to take some strides in that, but we still have a long way to go. And this is really a big part of what inspired, you know, talking to the city and then working with them to do this neighborhood engagement process to envision how could we better use our space and grounds as part of the vision of our church. Secondly, our land facilities and operations reflect our commitment of healing our relationship with creation. We want to pursue creation care, renewable energy sources, and sustainable practice in all that we do. You know, some of that is we had bids on what it would mean to go all solar. Here we in our operations, we want to continue to learn how we can better do sustainable practices. And this is a huge area of growth for us. So, and I look forward to that growth happening. So I'm going to pause again, just breathe. I know I've already been talking for a long time. This last bit is just reminding us where we left off with all of the meetings in the neighborhood. So we were supposed to have 5 land use meetings. We had 2, and then the shutdown happened. And we had developed this Q&A to hand out to the neighbors kind of prior to the 3rd meeting, which never happened. But this was related to a lot of the questions that they were asking in those first 2 meetings to help get more clarity on what we were wanting to do. And I thought it'd be helpful, because we had written this out, to share that with you so we can reacclimate where we were a year ago. And then my last slide just has what you can expect for the rest of February, because we want to get everyone up to speed on a lot of the meetings that we've had in this past year between our land use team and our elder team. Okay. So these are a Q&A written to help address the questions from the neighborhood. What is the church's primary goal? And that was like in having these engagement meetings. And our answer is we desire to steward our 5.5-acre property well. We will maintain a portion for dedicated church activities and are considering a comprehensive plan for the entire property. Our values include property and facilities that are environmentally sustainable. We have a value of green space. We have a value for the historic town hall as a community asset. We have a value for affordable housing and openness to ideas from neighbors as part of a comprehensive plan. Next question. What portion of the property is the church considering for development? Which buildings could be repurposed or removed as part of a comprehensive plan? And our answer is this. We're open to 2 scenarios. So scenario 1, all current buildings remain and we develop the undeveloped portions of our property. We specifically want to address the large unused south parking lot that goes along Inverness. This is not adding value to the church or our neighborhood, and isn't good for the environment. It's a big asphalt slope for water runoff. Scenario 2, we're open to remove or renovate some or all of our current garages, houses, and this main church building as a part of a mixed-use comprehensive plan that, you know, would be considered a win-win for the church and the neighborhood. Next, in all scenarios, we are open to sharing space or creating shared space with other organizations, commercial or nonprofit, providing space for affordable housing. We are open to creative ideas. These scenarios are more complex, but may allow for creative opportunities for reimagining this site. We recognize that we occupy a significant corner in Minnetonka and would love neighbors to creatively envision what this space could be. In all scenarios, we desire some form of affordable housing in its design. This is what we are particularly passionate about, as is our desire to be both good neighbors and responsible stewards of the history of the site and area. And next slide. What are the church's financial goals for this development? Will the church sell or retain ownership of its property? Our answer is the church has not decided whether to lease land, put land into a trust, or sell land for development. The church does not plan to donate land for development, nor does it plan to maximize cash or income from the sale or lease of the land. The church would apply any financial gains from land developments towards improvements or renovations of any remaining facilities that go along with our creation care goals and accessibility goals. And what is the church's decision process? How or who makes the final decisions? The Mills Church is congregationally governed. This means that decisions involving the property need to be approved by the church membership by majority vote. Any church-approved land development project would then be subject to the planning and approval process established by the City of Minnetonka. So all that to say is this engagement process is at the very front end of all planning decisions, both with the city process and us as a congregation. Okay. And this is final slide. And then I want to close with that Following Jesus poem that I read midway through this morning. So this is what to expect in February. So as we've kind of reviewed our vision goals kind of from the past 2 years, as we as a congregation think about what does this year in front of us look like, there's some stuff happening in February and potentially the spring that will call us into action around re-engaging our land use question. Okay. So this is what to expect the rest of February. Since March 2020, when we did that Q&A page right before shutdown, representatives from our elder team and land use team have had 3 meetings with the City of Minnetonka. So since March and during the shutdown, we've met with the city 3 different times. We've met with LISC, which was that moderating, facilitating organization, twice. We've had 6 meetings with Habitat for Humanity this fall, picking their brains on what they do and what potentially partnering with them could look like. And we've had over a dozen internal meetings between the elder team and the land use team together. So that's a lot of hours and meetings that have been happening in the background this past year. And so over the next 3 weeks, we will be sharing the Reader's Digest of these meetings with you. So this is kind of what's happened since last March. You can expect a land update the next 2 Sundays as a part of the service, along with posted synopsi, I guess that's the plural maybe, through email and Facebook. And then I'm inviting you to plan on attending our land use update meeting on Thursday, February 25th at 7 p.m. And that meeting is going to be dedicated for you giving feedback to a potential path forward. So that's what to expect the rest of February. Again, and I'll pause and take a breath if you have any thoughts, questions about that expectation. So some land updates happening in this next month, kind of with the backdrop of our visioning work as a congregation, which will inform that. But this is one of the things for me, kind of like coming out of solitude, of like it's nice having a break from the LAN questions in some ways, and now it's time to re-engage. And I'm expecting, you know, for some of you, you might feel different about that. Like it you might feel stiff and actually being invited to think about something again. And that might be really exciting for some of you as well. So that's the update for this morning. Thank you for participating with me in all of that. And I want to close with this poem, again, from Steve Garness Holmes. Thank you, Land Use Committee and Elder Board. Yeah, thank you, Pat. Yeah, there's been a lot of people putting in a lot of time behind the scenes on all of that. So super grateful, especially Tony Levy has put in a huge amount of time, especially in leading both those teams. So thank you, Tony. Now hear these words again. Breathe. Rest is good, and rootedness is a blessing. But beware the grasping nest. Beware of the familiar, the comfortable, the trap. Follow him. Go on. Perhaps to other towns and villages, or follow him rooted in one faithful place. But beyond your comfort, past that familiar wall, the frontier at the edge of an unknown, further into another's heart or within, the place where you don't know what to do. Serve beyond your security. Dare to be alien, a beginner. Have to trust. Even in the world unknown, you are known. Even afar, you are at home, so go. You are not alone. You are following. Amen. I love that. Following to the place where you don't know what to do, but have to trust. I love that prayer and word. Amen. I'm going to pause. We're going to share communion. Go ahead and grab some elements to participate. Jason says, when you put it all together like you did this morning, we really have some beautiful things going on and that we're thinking about. Well, thank you for that word of encouragement. And thank you to you all who have, you know, amen. You know, we've done a lot of work. Here to be commended for it. While be aware the grasping nest serve beyond your security. Yeah, those are good lines. Thank you, Kay.